We're still reading from these passages in the Gospel of John, where Jesus and his audience seem to be speaking on two different levels all the time. Well, that's actually literally happening. Remember his distinction between what's from below and what's from above. And so naturally, there's a lot of misunderstanding. I think it can help us to ponder this. If we go back to Sunday's gospel about the raising of Lazarus, remember, well, one of the main messages of that gospel was that Jesus has power over death. But another message, and probably even more important, is the revelation that our access to that power over death is faith. And that's what Jesus really stressed. Whoever believes in me will never die, and whoever dies and believes in me is alive, or something like that. I'm mixing up the quote. But the whole point is, it doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead. What matters is whether you have faith or not. That's clearly at the center of the story about Lazarus. So it doesn't matter whether you're alive or dead. We can't get that. But his point is, if we believe, we have life. He's talking about life on a different level than merely our physical endurance in this world, in this body. So that distinction between life that comes by faith and life that is part of being a bodily creature is important in this gospel, because Jesus says, whoever keeps my word will never see death. He's talking about the life of faith. They hear it and say, well, what do you mean? Never see death. Everybody dies. Abraham died. The prophets died. Are you greater than Abraham? Are you greater than the prophets? Now, Abraham has come up in this discussion before, but today the focus is really on Abraham, and this whole Mass is focused on Abraham. That's why this has been referred to as the Abraham Mass. He's at the center of the first reading. He's also at the center of this selection from the Psalm, and then he's at the center of the Gospel, Abraham. Why is Abraham so important? Because he is the figure of faith in the Old Testament. He's our father in faith. He represents the response of faith. In the New Testament, the faith figure is the Blessed Virgin Mary. So if you have the faith of Abraham and the faith of Mary, well, then you have all it takes to be saved. Here, our focus is on Abraham. Abraham, remember, believed what God said to him. He put his faith in God's word even before he had any evidence, and he still believed even when the evidence seemed to be opposed to what God said. Remember, the promises are, you're going to have many descendants, you're going to have a lasting progeny, countless as the stars in the sky, and you're going to have this land. Now, remember, Abraham was an old man with no children, and he had no land. He was a wandering nomad. So to have a countless progeny and have this land, which was not his own, that looked like it just wasn't going to be true. But Abraham believed. And he believed even when his faith was put to the test, and his only son, Isaac, was, he thought, supposed to be sacrificed. Well, that's the end of that. But Abraham believed. So he's the example of faith, meaning he has life. Because he has faith, he has life. If he has faith, he's alive. Notice in this gospel, the emphasis of the audience is that Abraham died. He's dead. He died a long time ago. Jesus refers to Abraham as someone who's alive. He's someone whom he knows. Abraham, you know, I know he rejoiced when he saw my day. He has this living relationship with Abraham. And you know, in another place, in the Gospels, where Jesus is talking about the resurrection, he says, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're alive in him. So don't be so fixated on the fact that they died hundreds of years ago. Rather, catch the meaning that because they believe, they are alive in God. Well, the misunderstanding gets worse and worse until he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham didn't see Jesus' day literally because he died. He saw it in faith. He saw in faith that he would have descendants and that his descendants would remain on the land forever. And there was a lasting fulfillment of God's promise. God's unchanging faithfulness to the covenant is what Abraham saw. And that's why he rejoiced. Isaac was the sign of it. He rejoiced. Isaac means rejoice, right? Laugh. So that's what he's referring to. Jesus is referring to Abraham's joy, the joy that comes by faith. They, again, taking it from the from below perspective, say, well, you're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham. See how they twist it. He didn't say that he'd seen Abraham. He said Abraham saw him. They turn it around and say, you've seen Abraham, and you're only not even 50 years old. Well, since we're already off balance, Jesus drops this nuclear bomb on them. It says, well, before Abraham came to be, I am. That's the divine name. I am is the divine name. They didn't even dare say things like that. And here's Jesus claiming for himself the divine name. It's just intolerable to them. That's why they want to stone him. He's gone way over the line. Why? Why did Jesus go way over the line? Because he's revealing that he is not only a man like them, a descendant of Abraham like them. He is that, yes, but he's more than that. He is from below, yes, because he has a fully human nature. He's born a Jew. He's born of a Jewish mother. He's raised in the Jewish culture. Yes, he's one of them. But he's also God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And that part they don't know, so it has to be revealed to them. Whether they're going to accept it or not, he has come to make known the truth about God, to reveal the Father, and to make known the possibility of reconciliation with the Father. So this is what he does. He says, I am. Well, what we're being taught here, now this is late into Lent, is that if we want to gain the benefit of Jesus' sacrifice, 1 week from today is Holy Thursday, entering into the Passion Thursday night. If we want to gain the benefit of that, the key is faith. Faith like Abraham had. Abraham believed before he saw any evidence, and he believed even when it looked like God was not going to fulfill his promise. Well, this is the kind of faith we need, looking upon the ministry, especially the Passion of Jesus. That this man, who looks like an ordinary man, is Son of God, okay. This man, who not only looks like an ordinary man, he looks like a criminal among criminals, crucified among the crucified. Well, that he doesn't even look like an ordinary man. He looks worse than ordinary. What's the response? Again, faith, even in the face of all the contradictions. So that's the faith of Abraham applied to the mission of Jesus. This is the faith we need if we're going to gain the benefit of Jesus' mission. That's why Mary at the cross, behind that purple cloth, Mary at the cross is the example of faith. Like Abraham, she believed what she was told back in the Annunciation, just celebrated that a few days ago. She believed what she was told without any evidence, but she trusted in the word. And then she remained faithful when that faith was put to the test at the foot of the cross, when it looked like the exact opposite of what the angel told her. It was what was really happening. Remember, the angel told her he would be glorious, he would reign forever, he's going to be known as Son of God. Well, he's not reigning forever. He's dying. He's being killed as a criminal. And Mary remains faithful. Mary remains true to what she was told. She still embraces in faith the word of God, in spite of all the contradiction. That's what we're being invited to to do. So the Abraham Mass is not just to honor Abraham or to show that Abraham accepted in advance the mission of Jesus. It's more to teach us to be like Abraham, so that with the faith of Abraham, with the faith of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we can welcome and benefit from the great sacrifice we're going to see on display during Holy Week.